Okay, good morning. It's great to see you. Do come and grab a seat if you haven't got one. If you are a guest at Welton Baptist Church this morning, you're really welcome. We're not going to embarrass you, but we would love to give you a bar of chocolate, which is all right, isn't it? And just some information about the church, the kind of things that we're up to. So I said I'm not going to embarrass you, and I'm not. But what we'd love to ask you to do, just come and grab me afterwards, and we'll sort you out with a pastry, cup of coffee, and one of these. That'd be good. If your car has the registration number WN68KUP, you're going to have to really discreetly in the next few minutes just kind of make your way out and turn your lights off. Nobody will notice. We're looking forward to today. We're going to be worshipping, and Steve's going to be leading us in worship, which we're excited about. We've also got Jonathan Cooper. I was leaving a little bit of a pause for a kind of woohoo because it's Jonathan. He's like everybody's favourite, isn't he? Jonathan Cooper is going to be speaking a bit later on. We're continuing our series on simplicity, and I know that Jonathan has really gotten hold of God's heart, so we're looking forward to that. You may have noticed we're a bit slimmed down this morning. I'm not talking about your trouser size, talking about there being 40 roughly of us away today, and that's about 25 youth, and I think 16 or 17 of the youth leaders are away at a youth weekend. And so we're going to link up with them in just a minute and pray for them quickly. But first of all, we're going to pray, all right, on this COP26 weekend where there are so many global agendas. And we need to recognize, don't we, that God's kingdom is advancing and is everlasting. It says in Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. With reverence and awe. Let's take a moment. Let's just still our hearts and pray. Lord, that is our prayer this morning, that in this place we'll know your kingdom is unshakable. And as we stand together, as we recognize that we're called by you to be friends and co-heirs, we pray that it'll be those that worship you. So remind us today that in our short lives, we can make a big difference as we love and trust you. Lord, you're the King of the kingdom, and it's unshakable even when our worlds feel like they're shaking. And so we say, we choose now together to place you right at the center of this hour that we've got in the middle of the week or the beginning of the week. We say, this is our God. We love him. We trust him. We choose to make him Lord, the King of the kingdom, unshakable in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to show you a quick video to give you a taste of what the youth have been up to in the last 48 hours, and then we're going to try and phone them. What could possibly go wrong? Okay, good. We are going to give this a go. Does that look like we're working? Can you hear me? We are good to go. Well done, Caroline and the tech team. All right, so what we'd love you to do, just two questions. Tell us, do a little sweep around so we can see who's there. No rude gestures, guys.
That's it.
Ah, Holly, good to see you. Bella, did you finish all the sweets yet that we saw you with?
What is it? Pardon?
Did you finish all the sweets that we saw you taking?
What sweets?
Wow, that was pretty convincing. Not bad. Well done. Good. I'll tell your mum and dad you haven't had any. That's good. All right, so we'd love you to tell us just a little bit. Scott, Matt, any of you guys... Hey, Matthew, good to see you. Tell us what you've been up to in the last couple of days and what you're going to be doing today. Hey, Matt. Yeah, give us an outline. What you've been up to?
First of all, I just want to say, Liz said you've got a very big face. That's how you look to us here. We've been doing all kinds of activities. We've been go-karting on pedal go-karts. We've been doing some raft building. What else have we been doing? Pedalos. And we've also been thinking about prayer and how God speaks to us, how it's a two-way thing. And this morning particularly, we've spent a little bit of time listening to God. And I think it's been an amazing morning. Everybody agree?
Yeah.
Good, especially Ian. And we've been listening to God for each other and writing things we felt were from God for each other.
Does anybody there want to say what they've heard God saying?
Would anyone like to say what they've heard God saying? Yeah, Millie? That'd be pretty cool. Can you take over to Millie?
Go for it.
God will never leave you or hurt you.
Awesome. Did you hear that?
Say it again.
Say it again.
God God will never leave you or hurt you.
Yeah,
so
good one.
Something Millie felt like God was saying to her, that God will never leave her or hurt her.
All right, anyone else? What are you going to say? What they? No? Maisie?
You've already got me crying a little bit, so...
Yeah, they're all, to be fair, Matt, they're all quite personal, because I'm going to cry now. Everybody had a sheet, and so we went round and listened to God for each other and wrote on the sheet what we thought God was saying for those people. And so some of them are quite personal. So
yeah, that's good. Guys, we just love that you are listening to God together and you're trusting each other and trusting him. Tell us what we can pray for you. You've got a few hours left today.
Yeah, Ian was saying, can you pray for healing? Keep praying for people who need healing here. Anything else we could be praying for each other? Would be really good. I think tidying up, there's a practical one. Tidying up, pack it away. Yeah, keep going. That's what I was thinking that Ian was saying, to keep going. I think that the things we've heard this morning and over this weekend, that they would really settle in us, that we'd actually take them away. Keep them. Is that fair enough?
Someone said strength.
Yeah, someone said to pray for strength as well.
All right, that's a good little bunch of stuff. We're going to get Becca. You remember Becca Kennedy? You've been away a whole weekend. You've probably forgotten her by now.
Becca Kennedy, the
she's
legend.
Going to come. She's going to pray on behalf of us as a church family, with a bit of our church family down there. So, can you guys hear? Okay.
We can.
All right.
Hi guys.
Yes.
Hi
guys. Good to see you. So yeah, we're going to pray for you guys now. So yeah, God, we love these guys. We're so grateful and thankful for every single one of them. And but we know that the love that we have for them is only a fraction of the love that you have for them. And yeah, Lord, we know that when we come to pray, we pray your heart over them. And yeah, just for some of these amazing things that you're saying to them, we pray into those. We pray that that is something that really challenges them, that affects them, that they can walk away from this weekend knowing fully in their hearts. We pray for that amazing prayer for healing, Lord, for that confidence in coming to you and asking for big prayers. And yeah, I pray that that's something that inspires our faith as we pray for these guys for that. And yeah, just pray for breakthrough in those situations. Yeah, we pray for the practical side of things, for clearing up and everything going well this afternoon, for safety and for fun and for good relationships with each other. We pray for that prayer of strength that someone said. Yeah, we just pray for whatever that looks like for each of those kids. Just, yeah, that your strength is in them, that they are walking in your strength, not in their own. I just pray that this weekend is the start of something amazing for each one of them. I just pray that over each of their lives going forward. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Becca. All right, we're going to be praying for you guys. Keep on listening to God, and hopefully Nanny McPhee will turn up and do all the tidying up for you.
Before you go, Matt, there's something we wanted to say to you guys, because we really appreciate the church sending us off and caring for us and letting us go and do this. So we wanted to do a big 1, 2, 3.
Fantastic. Bless you guys.
All right.
See you soon. Later. Bye. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Great. Joking aside, serious thanks to Caroline and the team. These things are not easy, are they, to sort out? So thank you for making those things happen. Wasn't it nice having the extra hour this morning? Did anybody else think that? I was thinking, God, why didn't you make 25 hours in every day? That was my thought. Anyway, in my extra hour, I was reading through some of the book of Ezra, parallel with the book of Nehemiah, and there's a lovely phrase that jumped out at me, which I'm going to pray as we come to our song worship together. And it's this phrase: the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. I'm just going to say that again. It's a phrase, this phrase, the hand of God, is used in Ezra more than any other book. The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. And the context of that passage in Ezra 8 is protection. Protection and a desire to gather together to worship God when stuff around our lives is challenging. And so we want to pray now, God, as we come to sing our worship. Just want to ask that the gracious hand of God would be on every one of us, Lord. And we pray this kind of thing a lot because it kind of sounds like church and it looks like church. But Lord, we really want it in the same way we want it for our young people. And we see you doing that already in the last day or two. Lord, we want it for one another's lives. And so without any embarrassment, don't look at the person next to you or in front of you, but just imagine a few faces, and let's just pray our hearts, just quietly, not out loud, but just pray that prayer from Ezra 8. The hand of our God, the gracious hand of our God is on those who look to him. So come, Holy Spirit, and as we worship you now, we pray that our reality today would be an encounter with God, and whether that brings peace or healing or challenge, Lord, that's entirely up to you. But we pray that we would be expectant, that the hand of God would rest on our lives. Bring your restoration, bring that hope that just comes from you, Lord. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, give us those open hearts and minds. We are not going through the motions. We're meeting with the living God. Let's stand together. We're going to worship. I want to say as well, as we worship together, if God gives you a Bible verse or a prophetic word or something that you feel is for us, just come and share it with Chris and I. We'll be down here. We'd love to hear those things as we worship. There's no pressure to do that, but just an invitation. Let's be listening to God as well as worshiping. So let's stand. Let's really go for it. We're going to have to raise our voices a little bit in a COVID-safe way, all right, because we're missing a whole load of our young people. It'd be good to make a sound that brings honour to God. Dan's going to come and share something just the Lord put in his heart, which would be great. Let's keep focused on Jesus.
Morning. I just felt really pressed to give an encouragement, really. It was kind of rooted in the last song that we were singing. I can't remember the exact lyric, I'm rubbish with words. But, just about the reality of overcoming death. I feel like for myself in some ways over this last week and a bit, there's just people around in my family and beyond, and it's almost like death's been hanging around. But the reality is that Jesus overcomes that, and that he did that in his own life, as we know, but it's a reality for us as well. And I just wanted to encourage myself and everyone here that really can be a reality for us. And yeah, for one person in particular who's very close to me, she's staring death in the face, and yet just so strong in her conviction that in some ways, as much as she'll miss everyone, it doesn't matter to her. She's going on to something far greater. Yeah, I just wanted to pray for us all, that we'd know that strength of conviction in our lives. And so maybe just as we're sitting or standing or whatever you're doing, you might just bring to mind something in your own life. And I also felt when I was just kind of praying before I came up here that, maybe there are people who, some people here who, and I've been one of them as well, who just think situations and just think, like, the words just don't hit home. They don't resonate because you just, frankly, you don't believe it. Just feels like a load of BS in the moment that you can't really grasp that. The reality, and so I particularly pray for you, but for all of us, just bring something to mind that you feel like you're grappling with maybe, and you want to see Jesus's life in it. And Jesus, we pray for your breakthrough in these situations. It doesn't always mean that you're going to fix it. It doesn't always mean we're going to get healed. It doesn't always mean that the situation's going to be all rosy, but you are with us, Jesus. That is real. And I pray that everyone, for me, for everyone here, that we would know the truth that you overcome death and you change the situations, whether it's even just knowing your closeness in our own hearts. Jesus, Holy Spirit, move amongst us and convince us of that this morning. Amen.
Thanks, Dan. The reason I know that word was from God's heart was because as we were singing, my mum had somebody pass away yesterday, and just those words stood out to me, that our God conquered death. And that's the God that we're loving this morning. Yeah, Kate.
Hi guys, I'm Kate. I actually, just from when we first started singing this morning, just had a really old song in my head, which I just love to sing out because I think it might really be for somebody here, just to add to the encouragement Dan's brought. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, Look full on his wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you that you're here, Jesus. You're here with us. And we delight in you just as we know you delight in us. But God, we turn our eyes to you today. We invite you into the dark spaces, the sad spaces, the places that feel hopeless, as well as the places of celebration. And we say, just come, Lord Jesus.
Thanks, Kate. Just going to encourage you, if there's somebody that, and when Dan mentioned bring people to mind, you might want to just grab somebody next to you. It's a safe space, isn't it? The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and is at work in people's lives. And so if there's something that looks like death, it doesn't have to actually be a physical death, maybe, but something that looks like death, that you want that resurrection power, the reality of it, just grab a mate next to you. Even if they're not a mate, with family, it's safe. If you're not sure who to grab, Chris and I would love to pray for you. Dan and Kate would love to pray for you. So if you're not sure and you'd like somebody to pray for you, let's do that. We're going to sing one more song because we want to just take a bit of time. We don't want to rush on. We do that sometimes, don't we? We rush on when God is speaking. So we don't want to do that. If there's a situation or a person where you want to see resurrection power at work, this is a good moment to say, God, I trust you. Talk to him about it. See what he says. Trust him. Believe him. All right, so grab somebody. If you love somebody to pray with you, do that. It's fine if it's a little bit messy. It's okay. Jonathan's speaking. He won't mind at all. He's smiling at me. All right, so it's just rest in the presence of God. If you need to do battle in the presence of God, that's great. If you want to get somebody to pray for you, that's great too. But just let's get hold of this. Our God has conquered the grave. Amen? Okay, that was enough of an amen. That we'll go for it.
Good morning. Could you just turn to Philippians 4:12, if you would, if you've got your mobile device, or we can read it off there. It says this. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. This morning, we are, as Matt was saying, we're continuing on with this series of simplicity. And this morning, the title this morning is Simplicity in Pleasure and Contentment. Before we start, what I'd just like to do is define what we mean by those terms, pleasure and contentment, because there is a kind of a nuance between them. If we can stick up the next slide. The definition of pleasure that I found is a feeling of happy satisfaction, very much a feeling, where the definition of contentment is a place, it's a state, it's a mindset, it's where you are. Okay. And I think that there is such a distinction between them because we get very confused between these two kind of terms. But I wanted to make it clear what we're going to talk about, because as we go through, it's going to be important to understand that sort of contrast. What we're going to see this morning, I hope, is that contentment is not something that just comes naturally to us. Contentment is something we've got to learn, we've got to grow into. As Paul in that passage said, he had to learn to be content. And there we look at our concept of pleasure. I think we see that very differently. You know, I was thinking if I was to have a chat with, you know, around my office, if I was to say, what would give you pleasure? I'm sure I'd get a diverse range of kind of answers, starting with probably more money, better management, more time off, many things. I'm sure you can think of lots of things though, but that's what the world kind of would throw at you and say, pleasure is about those things. That's what brings me pleasure. Well, I think contentment is something very distinctly different to that. Contentment is much more profound. And I looked and I found a survey that was done actually the end of last year by a market research company. And they looked and asked questions across 27 nations to find out what made people happy, what brought contentment into people's lives. And it's quite interesting, the range of responses, but the top five really I thought were very profound and perhaps not quite what I was expecting. The top five came out as these: health, health and well-being, my relationships, those people around me are really important to my happiness, my living conditions, my provision of shelter and warmth and things like that. Meaning and purpose in my life came in at four, and my safety and security came in at five. I wonder whether some of this is because this was across 37 nations, it kind of brought a slightly different nuance, perhaps a more of a maturity in people, particularly in countries like China, which actually came out top of the most content people, interestingly, not what I'd expected. But the nuances of it were profound in countries, I would imagine, like South America, where people live with much less, that they see the real truth of what is valuable in their life. And it made me think that if perhaps we lived in a situation, perhaps we lived in a circumstance where we had all of these things in perfect harmony, totally complete, surely we would be complete and totally content, wouldn't we? Everything would be fine. We would want for nothing. But then it made me think about the story of Adam and Eve. Now, as you know, most of you, I'm not brilliant at reading, so there's quite a long Bible verse coming up here, that story of the apple and Eve being drawn to it. Those who don't know, Eve was obviously in the garden. She had this serpent, as it's called in the scripture. It's interesting that the word in the Hebrew that this is translated as serpent can also mean shining one, tempter. Perhaps it wasn't, perhaps the way we see it, perhaps that voice, that thing that spoke to her was something very beautiful, a very kind of persuasive thing, somebody who sold things well. And although Adam and Eve lived in this situation of completeness, contentment, everything they ever needed was there, yet with that little voice, with that little bit of persuasion, discontent kind of came. This idea that God was perhaps withholding something that she should have, this extra knowledge, this thing that should be better, and God had perhaps got it wrong in her life. And I think that just so easily just kind of edged into her thinking. And we know the consequences of that. Dissatisfaction brought, world-changing consequences, but it still does now. When we kind of go down a line, a route, a lifestyle where we are looking at thinking that, God hasn't quite got it right for us, that he's withholding something, that I should be doing better, that he's got it wrong. And that in those circumstances, perhaps we start to try and fill it with the things that we talked about, with which are pleasure, to try and offset that. But we know that, there is this temptation to want what is slightly beyond what we've got. It's interesting, isn't it, within the Ten Commandments, God, we have all those things that we know are terrible, murder, adultery, all the things, but coveting things sits amongst those of the key things that are important, the key things that are offensive to God, that take us out of fellowship with him. That's quite a powerful thing. Now, and I think that we could continue this morning and then think about how we live in a world which actually we have virtually everything we need, yet we all suffer from a level of discontent in one way or another. And we could continue on this morning, we could berate ourselves and hang our heads low and kind of walk out feeling guilty but actually do nothing about it. And I don't think that's what God has got for us today at all. I think God has got something very specific he brought to me last week, and I was actually talking to somebody and it kind of changed my thinking a bit, and it made me think of this in a different way. I was talking to somebody last week and they said to me, this is somebody who is a really alive person. This is somebody who is vivacious, you know, really on fire, bubbly, full of life person. They said to me, I feel invisible. And I rang a bell and I thought, how? But it made me think then on some of the conversations I've had with people where we've talked about feeling disenfranchised, or irrelevant. My voice isn't worth hearing. Nobody is interested. I'm only of any value to anybody for what I bring, because that's all that people see me as. And that's devastating, isn't it? If you get into a worldview and you feel, and I think we all do it from time to time, but when that starts to overwhelm you as a feeling, you're not really worth anything much. And you start comparing yourself to other people, and frankly, you look at your very worst to their best, and you don't compare well in your eyes. That's crushing. It's awful, and it's a lie. I tell you now that it is a lie. Because if we're in relationship with Jesus, we have promise upon promise that we are of value. Again and again it is repeated in the Bible. And if you don't know him yet, these promises wait you. They are solid as a rock. These promises, if we can flick on to the next thing, I've got a few of them up. I just picked a few words. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. You are God's handiwork. You know, what words? He will rejoice over you with singing. That's how God sees you and sees us. Yet, I know a lot of people who know their scriptures better than me will say, I know that's true. I know these words and I've known them in my life. Yet, he is silent. Why is he silent in my life? He doesn't do anything. God has lost interest in me. And that's why I have no identity, because actually, for whatever reason, I've fallen off his radar. And that's a place nobody really wants to be sitting. Invisible, even to God. But as I come back to the main theme, the gratitude attitude is where God will reinforce and remind us of who we are in him. Now, we're going to do something rather daring. What I'd like to do, if you've got your phone or tablet with you, would you get it out, please? And can you turn it on to your texting app or WhatsApp, something like that? Okay, if you don't do tech in this way, can you just think this through? And can you, when you get home, I want you to do this on paper. But we'll do it in the moment, okay? What I'd like you to do is to write in the message part of that just a one line of somebody, to somebody who has inspired you, changed your life, encouraged you, been perhaps part of your walk towards getting to know Jesus, something that has had an impact. It could be 5 years ago, the person who just brought Jesus into a reality that you grasped. It could have been a message you heard Dave Kingswood preach. I put up an example for myself, which actually I ought to do now. This was Scott, and it was just last week. I was at an elders' meeting with Scott, and he just spoke life into me, you know? Spoke life into me and encouragement, which it was just in the moment. But, you know, that gave me a feeling of identity and worth. So as you write that message, I also now want you to do something else. And on top of that, on the title, on the address bit, when you put the address, the email address of the person who that is, and send it to them now. And I say that because not only does this remind you that God is speaking into your life and he is active in your life, because he is using that person to bring light into your life, but as soon as you send it, you've just done the same thing to them. You have just, if they are in a moment of feeling invisible, of that perhaps God isn't doing anything in their life, you've just confronted that 100%, you know? And that changes everything. What if we got into a habit of this? How good would that be? It doesn't need to be, you know, and perhaps it'd be better if it wasn't people who are part of our faith community. That we were sending them to say, oh, you know, you stood by me when I was struggling. When I was unpopular, you and my mate, you didn't walk away with everybody else. You were a true friend. That would be good, wouldn't it? What an encouragement that would be to recognise that in people's lives. So as we kind of come towards an end, I just hope that we're starting to see that dissatisfaction, it tends to be a taboo in our society. We tend to see it as potentially self-indulgent. And invisibility certainly is not that. But sometimes dissatisfaction does invoke change. And if we are unhappy about our life position, we need to invoke change. We need to grasp it, to put it before God and start to recognise who he is. I think that a lot of this invisibility that we feel, this lack of identity, isn't anything more than we've just lost sight of his hand on our lives, that we've lost sight of the fact that he is moving. He's never let you go, and he's certainly not silent. As we close, there was a couple of quotes I thought were quite interesting. I need to read these because I can't remember them. There was words that were attributed to Steve Jobs in his last days. And he said this, in other eyes, my life is the essence of success. But aside from work, I have little joy. And in the end, wealth is just a fact of life to which I am accustomed. One can find material things, but there is one thing that cannot be found when this is lost, and that is life. It's pretty grim. And when you compare it then to this man, who was just a preacher, he wasn't anybody famous, nothing remarkable about him, but what lovely words he was led to say. I'd rather be what God chose me to be than the most glorious creature that I could think of. For to have been thought about, born in God's thought and then made by God, is the dearest, grandest, most precious thing in all thinking. Our pleasure and our contentment are not born in anything physical that we can buy to bring it. It is that knowing a God who is speaking over us and is active in our lives and wants to engage with us, grow us, make us into the people he intended us to be and bring the fullness of life in everything of who we are. But we have to learn it. And as I say, we learn it through a gratitude attitude, acknowledging it, seeing it, giving God the glory for it. I thought it was interesting, Matt just opened on a verse which I quickly wrote down. The gracious hand of God is on all that look to him. God bless you.
Thanks, Jonathan. We would love to pray for you. If God has been speaking to you in the flow of worship this morning, if there's something that kind of resonates, this idea of invisibility, and you'd love somebody just to stand with you and pray for you, that would be a real privilege. So John and I and a few others will be around over pastries and coffee, and it would be great just to spend time praying for you. Just two things to mention as we wrap up, and then we will point you in the direction of the pastries. I was a bit concerned they weren't here, but they've appeared as if by magic, which is great, at the back. There's an offering box at the front. You can tell how non-money grabbing we are as a church. We've kind of missed it a little bit, and a few people have said, hold on, we need to be able to give if we want to give on a Sunday morning other than through standing orders and stuff. So there's a little silver box over there if you'd like to give. That would be great. We are getting one of those, what are they called, card readers set up, which would be very flash, won't it? None of you look that excited. I'm quite excited about it. Kind of chip and pin at church, whatever next. Just to mention, we'll mention it next week as well, but the 21st of November, a few weeks away, we're not going to be here because there's a wedding. So if you come, you'll probably get some cake or something, so feel free. But the idea at the moment is that we're going to either be on YouTube, like we've kind of known in this last year and a half, or we're going to find another venue that can look after us, which is easier said than done. All right, so that's the 21st of November. Okay, just to echo the invitation to pray, let's pray now as we close. Father, again, we remember this COP weekend and some big stuff being talked about globally. And we remind ourselves, Lord, that whatever our politics may be, there is a kingdom politic, that Matthew 5, that Sermon on the Mount, kingdom way of living that looks like simplicity, it looks like contentment. It looks like a trust in the God that made us, that you've called us to. But we do pray for our world leaders just as we finish. And we pray, Spirit of God, that you'd remind them of their responsibility to every person on this planet. And Father, we pray for one another now as we come to an end. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that if you've been speaking to us this morning, that we wouldn't kind of put a full stop on that conversation before time, but that we carry on that conversation with you and with one another as brothers and sisters in this safe space. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for coming. Just a reminder, if you're a guest this morning, we'd love to give you a welcome pack. Otherwise, teas, coffees, pastries over in that corner.